Here this morning, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians, and I beg that everyone should be attentive, that everyone should be quick to receive, everyone should open up their heart, open up their mind at this time, because I believe this is God's mind at the moment for the people. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Are we in Colossians chapter 4? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4. Thank you very much. Colossians chapter 4, I'll read verse 17. Short, precise instruction. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the people of Colossae, and while he was wrapping up the letter, he greeted a couple of people. He sent his greetings to the church. He related, you know, some of his reports. He told them I was sending someone down to them. And when he got to verse 17, he had this to say. He said, Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Amen. Let me read New Living Translation. Hallelujah. New Living Translation says, and say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the work. Be sure to carry out the work of the ministry the Lord gave you. Amen. See to it that you complete the work that the Lord gave you. Amen. I'll take it as an injunction to everyone. And I believe it's important at this point. My prayer is that everyone would embrace this instruction, hallelujah, and run with it to fulfill their ministry as children of God. Hallelujah. From this passage, you will see that the writer, who was Apostle Paul, was direct. It was direct as per who he was talking to. And I sense that he probably was even more direct about what he was talking about. Amen. It was not revealed to us what it was that he wanted Archippus to fulfill. But there was a direct instruction to someone in particular. See to it that you fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given unto you. Amen. You know, it could be replaced, or it could, let me try to bring it home a little. Paul was someone who journeyed around to different cities, different towns and all that, preaching the gospel, setting up churches, and of course had maybe one or two relationships with a couple of people. And you know, he had reached Colossae, he had gone ahead and he was writing back to them. And in bringing it home, it would be that, you know, that God could actually fish out someone in particular to give a particular message. Amen. All scripture is inspired by God. Hallelujah. God inspired Paul to say to Archippus, like he would be saying to someone today. It could be, Kule Popola or Banke Okulalu. See to it that you fulfill the ministry that God has given unto you. Amen. See to it that you fulfill that duty, that work, that service that God expects of you. Amen. Such that Archippus would have probably received it as a wake-up call to jolt him up if he probably was relaxed and sleeping about that duty. It would have come to him, boom, as another wake-up call. Oh, this ministry that God has given unto me, I must fulfill it. Amen. Or if he has been fervent, he would have probably received it with another encouragement. Oh, the man of God singled me out and is encouraging me to complete the work that God has placed in my hands. Amen. I'm sure we've had teachings here different times about how every member of this body, every member of the body of Christ is important. How we complete each other. How when you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing, then someone else is suffering. Amen. So it is without doubt that we can say that every member of the church has a ministry that God has committed into his hands. Everyone has a duty, a function, a contribution into the body. And Paul is coming with such a sweet admonition. I thank God that he did not even pay attention as per what that ministry was. Because if he said, see to it that you fulfill the ministry of preaching the gospel to the people, we will say he was referring to the pastor or to pastors. Amen. I tried to find out who was this Archippus? What was his life about? Who is he that God should consider to mention him in the Bible? Hallelujah. From my little finding, because he was probably mentioned just twice in the Bible, he was probably just a floor member who was committed to the work and to the defense of the cross. Hallelujah. Let's quickly look at Philemon, where Archippus was mentioned again. Paul was specific, he was direct. Amen. The same way I expect that every one of us will receive this as personal, as direct, as God saying to you, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that has been given unto you by the Lord. Philemon, or Philemon, hallelujah. Of course, it's one chapter. So we'll go to verse 2. Or let me read from verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, permit the pronunciation, our sister. Then it comes again. To Archippus. How does he describe him? Our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Hallelujah. He calls out Archippus again. And says, and to Archippus. He said, a fellow soldier. Who is a soldier? Amen. A soldier is one who has the consciousness of being in the defense of the faith that he believes in. One who is conscious to want to stand for the truth, for Christ whom he has believed in. One who is committed to the faith. One who is committed to the defense of the faith. The work of the ministry must move on. The work of Christ must happen. The duty that, or the place that God has placed me, or the place that God has placed me, must be adequately defended and must work well. Amen. If we liken it to the soldiers that we know around, I think we can say that the Nigerian military is a little respected. Thank God it's not the police. Amen. Is a little respected, so we may be able to relate with them a little. If a soldier is placed at a position to guard, he must not leave that position except by an higher authority, and there must be someone replacing it. Amen. He says, Archippus, our fellow soldier. Archippus, our fellow soldier. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And we just talk a little about who a soldier is, or the expectations of a soldier, because indeed scriptures also presents or portrays the believer as a soldier in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. Says Archippus, our fellow soldier. Philippians chapter 2. Let me read from verse 2 Timothy. I'll come to Philippians. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll come back to Philippians chapter 2. You can just fold your Bible in there, because we are coming back to it to see an example of who is portrayed as a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read from verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he was telling him, look, you need to endure hardship with us as like a good soldier in Christ. Look at verse 4. It says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. The first attribute, so to say, of a soldier is that it does not allow for distractions with civilian affairs. Amen. He recognizes, he understands the duty at hand, he understands the importance of who he is as a soldier of Christ. He understands the importance of the work that has been placed in his hands, and he does not allow for distractions. Amen. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Amen. As Christians, as soldiers in Christ, then we need to be focused on the duty that God has placed in our hands. And as much as it lies with you, do away with distractions. Do away with those things that are considered called civilian affairs. Paying attention to the reason why you have been called and set apart. Doing everything within you to fulfill the ministry that has been placed in your hands. Amen. He says, endure hardship. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be all smooth to stand as a soldier, to be one who has been called and who is standing in defense of the faith that you propagate. It's not going to be easy. So he says, endure hardship. See to it that you endure hardship. See to it that you endure. See to it that you endure. Yes, you feel lured, tempted away. Yes, it will feel difficult. Yes, you will feel jealous of the man who is a civilian. He says, endure. says endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. It says no one serving as a soldier parades himself or mingles with the things of the civilian. Amen. If we check our lives, there are probably a couple of things we can call civilian affairs. Amen. A couple of things. Amen. Our bags might be different in weight and in size. But he says, see to it. He says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Don't allow distractions. The man who recognizes himself as a soldier, who recognizes he has a ministry in his hand to fulfill, does not allow for distractions. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Says, but he wants to please his commanding officer. The desire of the soldier is to be pleasing to the one who has enlisted him. That's the way KJV puts it. He says, the one who has enlisted him into the command. The desire of the soldier is to have his commander, his general come. And the general is happy, is pleased with what he has done. The general considers, oh, this one is a good soldier. We left this guard or this parade with him, and he has secured it properly. Amen. He is not the weak link in the line of guards, but rather he has stood his ground. The desire of the soldier is to be pleasing to his commanding officer. Your desires as soldiers of Christ is to be pleasing to Christ who has enlisted you into his army. Amen. So his desire is to please his master. It's time we look inwards. We look into our lives and see how pleasing we are to our master. How pleasing are you to your master? Will the Lord look down right now and give a smile? Oh, this guy is doing well. He's doing great. He is commanding things as a good soldier. Is he fulfilling the ministry that I have put in his hands? Or is she fulfilling that ministry? Says his desire is to be pleasing to the one who has called him into the army. Amen. Let me quickly show you that. Philippians. I want to show you someone who was so committed to the defense of the faith. Philippians chapter 2. He was also referred to as a soldier. Philippians chapter 2. Another name that we are not so easily committed to knowing, or we just read through, and because the name seems interesting, we look at it a little and we move on. I've not even heard people call their children by such names. Archippus. Hallelujah. Or this one we're about to read about, verse 25. Says, but I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Hallelujah. The next naming, hallelujah. Epaphroditus. Just pray it is not a man or a boy. Hallelujah. Or pray you are not next. Archippus. Epaphroditus. Hallelujah. So I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Look at the qualities. My brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, a floor man. Come and go and buy coke. If just a flummer says, your messenger, it may not be that direct. Hallelujah. But it was someone who had committed, so committed to make sure the work of the ministry moves on. The work of the ministry must happen. So he's ready to take even that position of a messenger. It was the one that these people sent to Paul. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Look at verse 26. It says, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was healed. Indeed, he was healed and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Hallelujah. Consider, he said, Epaphroditus. A man who was ready to lay down his life for the cause of the ministry. Says he was even not happy that they heard that he was sick, because he didn't want them to look down, to look at him as weak, to defend or to stand in the gap in the faith. Most times what we see in the military is that when a soldier is weak, you call him back and you send someone to replace. Says, look, he was distressed that you heard he was sick. Because probably they would have said, look, bring that boy, he's just a weight to Paul. You go. No, but he wanted to be in the place of the ministry. He wanted to fulfill the ministry that God had placed in his hands. Hallelujah. Epaphroditus. Amen. The man who considers and commits himself to the work or to the defense of the faith, who happens to be a soldier, would do everything within his power not to allow for any distraction, would also make sure his desires is to please the one who enlisted him. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's another person, Timothy. Paul was so particular about, and he wrote a lot of things to him, how he must be focused, how he must be committed to the work of the ministry, how he must be committed to the thing that God has placed in his hands to make sure it does not fail. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 5. Says, but you keep your head in all situations. See that word again. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. See to it that you do all that you have to do as concerning what God has put in your hands. Amen. See to it that you pay attention to do everything that God has committed to into your hands. Look at verse 6 and 7 and look at where Paul, you know, the follow-up to that admonition. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. It says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul was admonishing Timothy, make sure you do the work that God has placed in your hands. For me, I am expired. My time is up here. Amen. My time is up here. My time of relevance is up. It is now in your hands to make sure that you fulfill the duties that God has placed in your hands. Amen. In the same way, I want to challenge you to ask or let you know that a time will come when it will be over. Amen. We feel so energetic. We feel like we have miles of years ahead of us. We feel like we can jump so high. A time will come when you probably also have to pen. Wait, look, I have run the race. I have finished the work. Would it be with confidence, with you know, that assurance, with such confidence as Paul is writing it? My time is up. My time is up. It's now in your hands. Paul was doing it with that confidence because if he had to check his life, he probably would have said, look, there was nowhere where I think I did not do well. But Paul also understood and recognizes that it is the master, it is God who will count him as faithful, as a worthy servant. But as concerning him, all that he needs to do, he committed to it. See to it that you fulfill, you do all that is within you to do. See to it that you commit to the defense of the faith. See to it that you stand in that position, in that place where God has placed you, and you are doing what you need to do. Because the time will come when there won't be strength, there won't be energy. Amen. To do more. I think I've said this here before. If Billy Graham had a chance to have 5 more years with energy as a 16-year-old, I'm sure he would love to do more. But right now, sometimes they even have to move him on wheelchair. He's willing, no strength. Whether we like it or not, time is ticking. Time is counting. Before you know it, okay, don't let me say that. As we know it, some of us are already clocking 40. Before you know it, we'll be earning 50, then 60, then 70. What will those periods be recording for you? Would you be said to be a good soldier? Would someone like Paul be able to write back to you and say, Archippus? Or fill in your name and say, a good soldier? The guy was faithful. That was why he was counted or called a soldier. He was standing in the defense of the gospel. He was doing everything it takes to see that the gospel moves forward, the gospel advances. He was doing everything within his capability, within his ability, within his mind, within his might, within his strength, to make sure that the ministry in his hands is moving, is working. Amen. Notice I have not said what or which kind of ministry, because everyone is relevant in their own way. Because everyone has something to contribute to the ministry of Christ, to the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. When that time comes, or as the time keeps ticking, are we fulfilling the ministry that Christ has placed in our hands? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you doing it the way you should do it? Are you doing it as a good soldier of Christ? Or are you just doing it as a soldier? Amen. While I was in secondary school, I went to a command school. There's this guy we used to call Setu. Setu, that was his nickname. Nobody probably knows his real name. He was a soldier. He was just a corporal. I'm not even sure he had anything. The guy, as joking as he might appear, will come to your hostel, he will say, open your locker, give me something, you know. You put conflicts with whatever, you serve him and all that. When it is time for Seto to drill you, he doesn't know anybody. Once his oga says, this boy, oh yeah, you are finished. Forget your golden one or conflicts. Forget it. He's a good guy, nice chap. If it's within his power, he will say, oh yeah, settle me. Those were his slangs. Once you drop something, you can go. But once his guy is involved, you are a goner. Amen. A good soldier stands in defense to please his master. Amen. Check your life. Check, do a rundown, do a personal check. How are you fulfilling it? Some of us might say, Pastor, I don't know what is specific that God wants me to do. While you are lost for what it is in specific that God wants you to do, God expects that you will be faithful in living out your Christian life daily. Be a good Christian. Commit to the study of God's word. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Interesting how James will relate doing God's word with doing the work. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. I think that's the place to start for every Christian who wants to live as a soldier that Christ has enlisted us to. Look at verse, let me read from verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness. It says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. 22 says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It means do not just hear God's word. Be a doer. Be a committed member. Be a committed person to God's word to live it out. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. The place to start is to commit to looking into scriptures and choosing to live it out. Amen. That's the place to start. As you commit to it and you keep doing it and you keep living it out, you see a scripture that teaches you to give and you give. You see a scripture that tells you, oh, you can actually lay hands, and you try it the first time. You try it again. You keep trying it because it's still there in the Bible. It gets to a point in time where you probably get to an awareness of an area that is specific that God wants you to. This is where to start. Looking into scriptures. Living it out. Living it out. Looking into scriptures. Living it out. Let's look at something. Philippians, I think chapter 2. I want to learn from the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Sorry, chapter 3. Chapter 3. Let me read from verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, 12 says, not as though I had already attained. Either we are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Let me read it from, that's verse 12. Let me read it from NIV. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He says, I press on towards it till I get to the point where I realize where Christ actually saved me. I'll keep doing it. I will keep at it. Since there's a reason why Jesus saved me, and in order to fulfill that reason, I will keep at it. I'll keep looking into scriptures. I'll keep living out the life. I'll keep living out the life as one who has not even reached where Christ wants him to reach. I'll keep doing it. He says, until I lay hold of that reason why Christ laid hold of me. Why did Christ save you? Why did Christ bring you into the body of Christ? Why did he bring you into this body? Says, I'll keep doing it. I'll keep living the life until I lay hold of that reason why Christ actually laid hold of me, why Christ actually brought me into this body of Christ. I'll keep pressing at it. I'll keep pushing on. I'll keep doing it. I'll try again. Oh, I missed it. I'll try again and again and again. Oh, I have success. I will keep trying. Amen. Until I lay hold of that reason why I have been saved and been brought into this local assembly, or rather, let's have a global outlook, into the body of Christ as a whole. I will press on. I will not draw back. Let me round off quickly. I'll do that on this note. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul told Timothy several times, endure hardship as a good soldier. Being a soldier of Christ comes with a lot of things. It says endure hardship. As a good soldier of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. I would have loved to relate it with the story of some people we see in scriptures. Paul is one specific person. He committed to it. The man who understands that he has a ministry in his hands to fulfill, who is committed to it, would be likened to the one who has found purpose and who is ready to fulfill that purpose upon his life. Men who have seen them, men who are purposeful, and men who achieve things, who things don't just happen to them anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul had several disappointments. Nothing crushed him down. I think 3 times there was shipwreck, did not crush him down. He was flogged. There was a time he was stoned to death. Hallelujah. He did not crush him down. He picked himself up and he was ready to go again. Why? Because he understood, I have a ministry to fulfill. I have purpose in life. I have a ministry to fulfill. Do we want to relate with Joseph? Hallelujah. Remember, he was a little boy, 17, when he had a dream. The sun and the moon and the stars will bow before me. And he said, you will see that happen. Hallelujah. And series of events, one after the other, that ordinarily should have crushed him. In temptation or in trials, in tribulations, he stood his ground and God took him to that place. He was a man of purpose. When he had the chance to actually get to a point of high position, when Potiphar's wife came and wanted to lure him, that would have been a good position to have all that his master had, including his wife. He repelled against it. Not because it was not even good to his master, because it was not right before his God. Amen. Men of purpose achieve things. Men of purpose are not easily distracted. Men of purpose or men on a mission are not easily distracted. Men on a mission want to be pleasing unto the one who has called them, who has enlisted them into the work. And they want to see that it happens before they draw back. That is why things won't happen to them anyhow. Even when things happen, they are standing. Amen. Such scripture that said 1,000 will fall by my right, 10,000 by my left, would happen in their lives because they stand in defense of the gospel. They are carrying the gospel and they want to see it advance. Amen. Such men, soldiers of Christ, enlisted by God to do the work of the ministry. Like I started, these men are not extra special people. If they were, we would have heard their names again and again and again and again. You probably would have heard of Peter, James, like we heard so many of them. We would have heard their names again and again and again. But they are just hidden, men who are hidden there, who have taken upon themselves the responsibility to fulfill the ministry of God that is upon their lives. Say, Archippus. Let me show you just one more person before we do 1 Corinthians. That's where we start from, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4. I want to read about another man who is not so common. We do not record great miracles wrought by his hands, but they stood in defense of the faith. Such fine name also. Verse 12. Epaphras. Hallelujah. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayers for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard. He is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Areopolis. Amen. Says the guy labored in prayers. Amen. May I ask, when last did you labor in prayer for someone? Not for yourself, for someone. Say, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that has been placed in your hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll close on that note. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Like I was saying, Paul warned Timothy several times. Endure hardship as a good soldier. Do away with distractions. Do not join in old wives' fables. Do away with distractions. Do away with things that would draw you back. do away with things that would not be directly or indirectly fulfilling the work or the mandate of God upon you. Look at verse 58. I'll close on this note, on this admonition. Samuel, please come and play "How Great Is Our God." Thank you, God. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm." Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. The believer is expected to stand firm. You are standing with a consciousness to stand. You are standing knowing that you have things that are operated against you. You are standing firm. Say, stand firm. Be immovable. Hallelujah. That's KJV. Let nothing move you. Distractions will come. All manner of things will come to move you, either by choice or by force. By choice, when they come and they lure you to leave the guard post where God has put you. They lure you away, and you also dance and follow after. By force, when the troubles of this life come and come forcefully at you, you either choose to remain standing, not movable, doing all it takes not to be moved, because you know the one who has called and enlisted you, who has put you in that position of God, is the one you should look at and be pleasing. Things will come to move you, to shake you, to lure you away by choice, by force. Anyhow, they will come. The response should be, I'm standing firm. I'm standing fast. I will be unmovable. Amen. He says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read KJV. I love the King James Version. It says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. King James says, where is it? Verse 58. Says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Make it a personal goal. I must abound in God's work. I must abound in the things of God. I must abound in God's work. When you check my account, it must be full. It shouldn't be empty. It shouldn't be half empty. It should be full, abounding. It should be overflowing. It says always abounding in the work of the Lord. The man who would live as a soldier is the one who would have such disposition. It has to be conscious. It won't happen by chance. It will happen only by choice. My account must be full. I would lay up treasures in heaven. It will happen by choice. It won't happen by chance. I will be rich. Rich, I want to have a basket full of souls to present to the master. See how much lives I have brought before you. It will happen by choice. It will happen by chance. Oh, I have been faithful in the work of the ministry at the Grace Community Church where you sent me, and within this particular unit. It will happen by choice, not by chance. I will be a good Christian in my neighborhood. I would influence men for Jesus at my workplace. It will happen by choice, not by chance. Say, I want to have a basket full. I want my good works to abound before the Lord. It's always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always committed, dutifully, happily. Paul said, whether we do this by force or by choice, we are doing the work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. It has to happen by choice. If we decide to force you, it remains your will to be forced. Amen. So you can force a horse to the stream, you can't force a horse to drink. Fulfilling the work of the ministry would have to be by choice. Coincidentally, or as it would be, the scripture we are reading is one that comes after a series of talk about men who have gone to be with the Lord. How their faith is intact, how God will come for them, and probably as a reminder one more time, there will come a time when we cannot walk, because those who labor, they labor in the day. There will come a time when it is night time for every one of us. Hallelujah. Let me just finish it. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labors are not in vain. The one who has called you, whom you should have your eyes set on to please, is the one who will reward you. He sees your works. He sees every good works. He sees every good works. Not to forget the labors of love that you do, that you have committed to. Amen. He says your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. So each time or when you decide to be very active, very committed with the whole of your heart, and you commit your work and all that to it, your labors are not in vain. Those times when you decide to draw back, hallelujah, they are yet not in vain. Because there's an account. There will come a time when we will stand before the Master to give an account what we have done in the flesh, whether good or bad. Your labors are not in vain. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Where you are, I just want you to say a word of prayer unto God. This is a time to renew your commitment to Him. This is a time to make up your mind. To make up your mind and to decide to live deliberately by choice for the man, for the one who has enlisted you into his army, who has placed you at the point of guard that you should fulfill. Paul said, say to Archippus, say to Archippus, see to it that be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. See to it that you fulfill the work of the Lord. Make a commitment. Make a commitment today. It's going to be personal. It can never be by association. It can never be parapo. It has to be personal. Lord, I choose you. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want, I would, I choose to fulfill the ministry that you have set in my hands. Thank you, Father. Lord God, I pray for everyone. As you open up their hearts, enlarge their minds to be open to see that which you have set before them to do, and they commit to it wholeheartedly. Thank you, God.